Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Should we relax the rules around one-off housing? I was reading in the papers over the weekend, the Housing Minister James Brown talking about this major policy shake-up to allow more of you build homes on your own land, particularly in rural parts of the country. This likely to be brought forward by the summertime in an effort to try and boost the number of properties in rural locations. Take a listen to Brendan O'Sullivan, Chartered Planner and Senior Lecturer at the Department of Planning in UCC. He spoke to Anton about this a little earlier this morning.
This is an issue which is really, really tricky one to handle, and it depends on where your starting point is. So if what seems to have come from yesterday's interview is that the minister wants to make clear that people who want to build a home on their family land shouldn't find it that difficult to get planning permission, that's as far as it goes, that is not particularly problematic in one sense, especially if it's a question of somebody who's living in a rural area, perhaps farming, part of the rural community, and they own land and they want to build a house for themselves to live in all year round. If that's what he's talking about, then a statement to that effect may not be particularly problematic, because planning authorities, county councils around the country have for many decades tried to facilitate planning permissions like that.
1800 453 106, if you're maybe trying or hoping to get planning permission on your own land in rural Ireland, we'd love to hear your story today. Architect Roisin Murphy is with me here on Lunchtime Live. Do we need more one-off housing, Roisin?
This is, again, as he has said, really tricky and nuanced, because we don't need more one-off housing, speculative one-off housing, because the understanding from bungalow bliss, a period in Ireland where we just built everywhere randomly one-off housing. They're difficult to service with infrastructure. They are considered to be bad for the visual environment. So this, to an extent, it's a very odd, unnuanced response, like where there is a recognised tradition of living in cottages and farming in Ireland, which is generally supported in the planning process. But where there is difficulty is when, say, a family will sell, give a plot of land to a child and they want to build, but they're not farming. So that's where all the kind of difficulty has come. But there is also derelict properties out there that people can do up. They can renovate. Now, there is a nuance there where it's what we would call technically a brownfield site. And I think in France, where they've dealt with these issues and where it's been discussed at council, is that you don't build on what they call virgin soil anymore because of the problem with climate change. And just to remind everybody of the incredible flooding that we've experienced and rainfall, Ireland is going to be hit with rainfall. So this idea that we just build on land and that it doesn't have any impact is very retro, kind of old fashioned. Like, the reality of it is it's very nuanced building on green land. And people were in storms, have been isolated without being able to access electricity. You know, there's a huge amount for not.
You know, I accept that, and particularly in around floodplains. And you know, there was a story only quite recently, about 2 weeks ago, in relation to local authorities allowing for developments to be built closer or on floodplains, and the impact of that. But I suppose, you know, we have a housing crisis. We have a lack of supply. We have huge shortages. We can't meet our demands. Yeah. So do we not need to change tax somewhere, Roisin?
I don't think this is about. I think this is a glory gone Votol. I think this is such a small portion of housing needs. Having said that, I have helped people renovate houses down the country where we have upgraded, we have excavated underneath cottages to put three stories as ways of doing it. But where we do need significant change is in, say, regulations for living over the shop. It's also a huge imposition on the push and the drive we are doing to get people to live in the small towns and villages, to reinvigorate smaller towns and villages which are decimated because of developments like shopping centres, and when it's pulled everybody out of the village, to try and get regulations slightly relaxed for fire so people can live in these spaces. And there's 40,000 unmeasured units of just living over the shop, not just part of derelict properties. Like, so I feel that there's a certain kind of, and what's worrying is this kind of, like, you know, over-regulation is the problem, over-planning constraints is the problem with the supply on housing. I just don't, it's more nuanced than that. And I feel as though that this comment is unhelpful to the drive to make better infrastructure in Ireland, okay. to make better planning decisions. And like densify our cities, densify the where we have networks. But I feel it's honestly, it's recognising that there's a huge amount of difficulty for some families to get permission. But there is housing out there in rural Ireland that could be renovated still
okay.
without having to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater.
Yes, stay with us, Roisin, for a moment. I want to bring in Josephine O'Neill. Josephine is the president of Macrin Afirma. Josephine, what was your reaction, first of all, to this kind of so-called liberalisation of the rules around one-off housing that the minister talked about?
Firstly, good afternoon, Andrea, and thank you for having me. From a Macrin perspective, we really welcome this as a positive step forward. It's something that we as an organisation have been campaigning for, that in the delivery of the rural planning guidelines for quite a considerable period of time. And for many of our members who are from farming backgrounds, they want to return home. They want to put down roots and become vibrant and active members of their local communities. And we see this as a glimmer of hope for those young people to allow them to return home and to build their lives at home, near their family farm, on their own land, and then to contribute to the local villages and the local communities around them.
What about to Roisin's point, though, around, you know, kind of the lack of services that you often have with one-off housing? And I appreciate maybe that's not necessarily connected to farmers, but just in general, Josephine, where you have one-off housing that, you know, you'll have difficulties trying to provide services to those areas, broadband connections, you know, access points for emergency services, like all of the different things that go with living in a very rural and isolated area.
I do appreciate that they are concerned, but I think if we look around, like we've had the rollout of the national broadband plan, which will be a positive step in the right direction to ensure that broadband is accessible to any new developments that are built by young people on their own land, that there are ways and means to address this, especially as we move forward and we appreciate the technological developments, and there are ways and means to address any of those issues that may be experienced by these young people to ensure that they can have the opportunity to build their own home on their own land.
How many of your members do you think are affected by this, are currently maybe trying to build on their own land and are actually farming that land and can't do so?
This is a huge issue. It's one of the biggest talking points within our organisation. Many of our members struggle with getting planning permission to build their own home. They invest significant time, effort and money into trying to get planning permission. With that permission often declined, this is something that the announcement of this has been very much welcome and is, like I said, a glimmer of hope for those young people who do bring it up at any opportunity that they can to highlight it as an issue.
Yeah, listener here says, a neighbour of mine is currently trying to build in our own locality but has actually been refused planning due to traffic in the area. He's been told that he cannot use existing driveways and he cannot build a new one either. Like, it does seem a little ridiculous, Roisin, that if somebody will say, like Josephine or any of her members, they have, you know, they have land, they're working on the land, they're farming that land, their family are living on that land, they have a plot of that land and they can't build on it.
No, I agree. And I have, to be honest with you, I have an awful lot of sympathy for people who are farming the land and who are living on the land. And that's one of the things to make clusters of housing on this idea of brown soil, where they locate the housing close together. That has been looked at. But I think the commentary about it as one-off housing, you got to be really careful with that, because we also can't go back to just people selling off it, which is what happened when we saw the kind of the bungalow bliss outburst mm-hmm. in Ireland, where everybody was building ribbon development. It was seen as a very negative thing. And I think that is one of the reasons why it is so stringent, was to prevent that. But I think that's why it's a nuanced thing, which is kind of in the statement as if, you know, I think there could be more nuance in it. I know I had a really unusual planning permission years ago where we were doing an application for, what was it, Father Damo. I don't know if you remember him, Andrea, but he was part of the Father Ted contingent, and he wanted to go back to Meath to build a theatre school right beside his father's house and couldn't get permission. Now, they were going to bring business in, and it obviously he did not fall within what they call as the local need, but in actual fact, they were going to bring arts to
The locality, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the nuance is difficult. And I think that to an extent, to give the planners nuance in regard to this, but we have seen terrible abuse of this system over the years in Ireland. And we also have to be very careful about, it's not just the broadband, it's that thing of services and cars.
Well, actually, just you mentioned that, and Josephine, there's a text in here while you were on a moment ago to say, you know, if you want to build a house in the middle of nowhere, that's grand, but be prepared to pay full whack for that access road to get to your house, the electricity infrastructure and the sewage.
And I think that's something that if our young people have to overcome those issues, they are issues that they will overcome once they have the opportunity to actually build. Our young people want to live in rural Ireland and they want that opportunity. And this is a step in the right direction to provide that opportunity.
Okay.
And we know how much that they can contribute to their local community. So we should be welcoming some of these changes and this liberalisation to ensure that we do have the vibrant rural communities and a network of local young people who are able to give back to their local community while also working on the land.
Sophie's on the line with us. Sophie, I believe you're currently going through this process, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah. So I'm in the very early stages of the planning stage and I'm an active farmer at home and I'd fully agree with what Josephine has been saying. Like we really need to encourage the young people to stay at home, and at the moment I feel like we're on our knees in terms of being able to survive in this current climate. So I think we really need to push this forward and to make it as easy as possible for young people, because we keep seeing these headlines that we'll hear about new planning regulations to help. However, we've seen it a vast number of times now, but we actually haven't heard any progress yet.
And what's your situation? So you're living at home, you're farming on the land and you're trying to build there at the moment, are you?
Yeah. And it's a fully eco-friendly home. There would be, it would be a lovely house, and it's just so that I can stay at home and I can maintain my job and maintain the farm as well as being in the local community. And it's fully accessible and there's no issue with any internet sources or anything like that. However, it's just something the local county council aren't really wanting to happen, which is...
So you haven't. So despite lodging a planning application, you haven't been granted permission?
No.
And what response do you get?
It's very hard to know what the actual response is, because the lack of communication it's not there. And it's very hard to hear any correspondence in order to maybe make any improvements there. So, yeah, it's quite hard to actually get through to someone and have that advice.
Yeah, listener here's got in touch to say self-building on your own land, there shouldn't be any restrictions. These are people who are providing homes for themselves. They're not looking for any handouts or state-provided housing. It should also not be confined to just farmers. There's lots of people who live in the countryside and who want to build, who are able to build, but who aren't farming. I don't see why there should be any restrictions at all. And I build houses for a living, says this texter. Astrid Madsen is the editor of Self Build magazine. Do we need more one-off housing? Astrid.
Absolutely. Of course we do. We need more people living out in the countryside, revitalizing our towns and villages. It's a really important issue and definitely welcoming the minister saying that he is going to push these new guidelines. Now, we've been waiting for these guidelines for 20 years. They've been promising these changes for a long, long time. So there's nothing really, he didn't say what he's going to change exactly, but we'd like to hear more details. But if he can make planning rules clearer and easier to navigate for people, then that's all the better.
But would allowing more one-off housing or housing in more rural areas, and even if that is for people like Sophie that are trying to get planning permission, you know, when they're on their own private land, will that not actually draw people out of towns and villages? Like, I don't see how that's going to help to create a vibrant town.
It will, because people are living in urban centres. If you have people living,
but sure, they're
out
not
the
if they're living in rural
they have
areas.
To go. They have to go to the local school. Like if you have, usually when you're building a house, most self-builders in Ireland are building homes to raise a family in. If you're going to build your own house, you're going to have to put your kids in school. You're going to engage with the local community. You're creating this whole, community aspect to it, definitely. Yeah, it will revitalize villages. People, if people can't build, and I mean, the reason people build, it's not because they want to be, you know, putting blight on the countryside or anything. All they want is to live in a house that is affordable, and, you know, that's it. Like, they want a roof over their head, and that's, you know, that's only right.
And particularly if they already have the plot of land, and given the cost of building and even buying sites and you know, building and the price of property at the moment, like, I can totally understand why people would want to do this. Sophie, how many times did you say your planning application has been rejected?
It's just in the very early stages, so it's not actually been possible to get through to the initial planning meeting, and that keeps being pushed back further and further to, in order to even get to that stage. And I keep being told 8 weeks, and then as 8 weeks come by, it's like, no, the goalpost is pushed forward again. So it's not even in that stage yet.
So you haven't even, you haven't even actually got to the planning process yet stage then yet.
And it's been very difficult, and it's not even begun, I guess.
Yeah, listener here tells me that they've been refused three times with their planning application. My old house is on the land. I'm looking to get a new planning permission. They keep finding how not to give you permission, says this texter. And another listener makes the point, if it's your own land, you should absolutely be allowed to build a house in it. I don't see why you shouldn't. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, that's architect Roisin Murphy. Also, Josephine O'Neill there is the president of Macrina Fermagh, and Sophie with us in, well, one of our listeners, Sophie, getting in touch. Astrid Madston there is the editor of Self Build magazine.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.